So good to be here to worship together, to recognize our seniors, our graduating seniors, all are very accomplished. We have an incredible group of students. Every single one of these students is active in our student ministry, and I'm so thankful for them. This week, we had some students who had a great accomplishment, and I just wanted to take a moment and recognize two of our students this week who won a state championship in 5A tennis. Robert Adcock and Jeremiah Layton, both this week together, won the 5A state championship, and I want you to know, guys, we're super proud of you. Louis Giglio has a definition for passion, and his definition is the degree of difficulty one person is willing to endure, someone is willing to endure to accomplish a goal. The degree of difficulty someone is willing to endure to accomplish a goal. And on December 5th, 1914, a man named Sir Ernest Shackleton had a goal. His goal was to be the first person to cross Antarctica on foot. In order to get there, he had to take a crew of 27 men on a ship called the Endurance. And they set sail from the island of South Georgia and eventually were trapped in ice. It's in a book. It's a fantastic book. They were trapped in ice where they became, they just faced an incredible amount of difficulty. 100 degree below temperatures. The Antarctic night, which was completely dark for 24 hours for long, long periods of time, and they were trapped. They did not accomplish their goal. Soon their goal turned to something much different. Their goal was simply to survive. And they decided, hey, we're gonna live on this ice, this sheet of ice, until spring comes. And when spring comes, warmer temperatures will break the ice and the boat will be released and we'll be able to continue on our journey. Well, as spring came and warm temperatures came and ice broke, it did something that they didn't expect. It destroyed the boat, and they had to abandon it. And with all the courage that they could muster up, Sir Ernest Shackleton led his men to release the lifeboats, and they began a new journey of survival. This journey would take them 100 miles to an island called Elephant Island. This island was not in a travel corridor, and so in order for them to survive, they would have to reach another island. There was a small problem. It was the island that they started out at, South Georgia, and it was 800 miles away. And so with minimal amount of tools to guide them, he and five other men got in one of their lifeboats and began their journey. He told the remaining crew, hey, I promise you, I'm going to be back to get you. I'm coming back to get you. And miraculously, on May 9th, 2015, they reached the island of South Georgia. They had to continue their journey by foot 36 hours to reach a whaling station where there were people. And miraculously, once again, they accomplished that goal. And on August 30th, 1916, Ernest Shackleton led another rescue mission to Elephant Island, where he rescued, 4 months later, the 26 men he had left behind. What an incredible story of passion. An incredible story of devotion. And Ernest Shackleton kept his promise to return. He loved his crew so much, he risked his life numerous times in order to save them. And this story reminds me of a story. It reminds me of the big idea that runs through the book of Isaiah, which is where we will be today. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8 is where we'll be. And this theme runs through the book of Isaiah, and it runs through the entire Bible, and it is this: God is the God who rescues. He is the God who saves. And just like Shackleton's crew, we were stranded. We were hopeless. We were helpless, unable to rescue ourselves, but Jesus came to the rescue. And the Bible says that he has promised that soon he will return. And this world that we live in is beautiful and it's broken. And Jesus has promised that he will return and make all things new. And this is the hope that should guide our lives. This is the desire that lasts. The desire, the passion that we should build our lives on. I want to read Isaiah 26, 8 this morning. Isaiah 26, 8 says, "Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our heart." I love this verse. This verse is the theme verse for Passion since its inception. And every year we take a group of high school seniors and college students to Passion, and we'll be going back in January 3rd through the 5th of 2024 in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So high school graduates, I hope that you plan to attend. If you're 18 to 25 year old, you should plan to make plans to go to Passion. It is an experience that you won't regret. There are 60,000 college students that gather together who worship the name of Jesus, and it is an incredible experience. And this verse, their theme verse, is in a chapter of Isaiah that is a song of praise. It's a song of trust. And here Isaiah is looking at everything that's going on in the world. He's looking at everything that's happening in high school seniors, graduates. I want you to look at everything that's going on in the world now, just like Isaiah was looking at. And in his heart, Isaiah says, "God, I am eagerly waiting for you." It's a picture of trusting God. And he also says this in the verse. He says, "I have a desire in my soul." And as I look at everything that's going on in the world around me, and I want you to think about the world you live in and the world that you're going out into. And man, we're so excited for this new stage of life you're going to be in. You've reached this point, this accomplishment of graduating high school, and you look back over, you see the struggles that you went through, you see how you grew as a person, you see how you grew in your faith, and this new chapter of life will be filled with fun, but it will also be filled with struggles. It will be filled with a season of growing in new ways, and as you look at that, just as Isaiah looked at the world around him, he said, "My one desire is that your name and your renown would be known among all people." I want you to think, man, Isaiah said, you know, we live in a world who is hungry for attention. We live in a social media world where everybody wants attention. And And Isaiah is pointing us in a different direction. He says, hey, there's a better way to live. And the better way to live is not to point other people towards you, but it's to point other people towards Jesus. And with the same passion, our desire is that you would have this passion that Isaiah had, that you would say, Jesus, as I go out into this new stage of life, I want your name and your fame to be known among all people. God, I want to see you get the glory that you deserve. And my prayer is for you that your biggest desire would be that God gets the glory that he deserves in your life. And so this morning, we're just going to look at three truths from this passage. And the first one is this. Three simple truths. You can write, will, walk, and worthy. Those are my three points this morning. Will, walk, and worthy. Isaiah says, yes, Lord. And if you're going to have a passion to make God known, then before you ever know what God is going to ask of you, you need to determine in your heart that your answer will be, yes, Lord, I will. And you might think, man, that's a really, really scary thing to say, to reach this point of surrender in my heart, that I would be willing to say yes when I go out in the world. I'm saying yes to God. And you might think, well, what if God asked me to do something that is really scary to do? Well, guess what? God is going to ask you to do some things that are really scary to do. Even more scary than sharing your name, your parents' name, where you're graduating from and where you're going. I promise you, it's going to be scary and it's going to be fun as well. But we have to reach this point that we would be willing to say, yes, Lord, I will. And we can do that when we look at the life of Jesus and we see that it started with him. He said, yes, Lord, I will. You know, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, Isaiah was a prophet and he prophesied about the coming of Jesus Christ. And here were some things that he said, Jesus said yes to. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Listen, students, church, you can trust God. He is a God who has a passion for his glory, and he has a passion for his people, and he went through extreme suffering. He went to great lengths so that we would be healed. You know, when I was a kid, I would sit and listen to our pastor at First Baptist Mendenhall. His name was Dr. Houston Atkins, and I probably was like, remembering this, I was probably around Abigail Furlow's age when I would listen to our pastor. And one thing that, you know, you just remember strange things, and I can remember watching our pastor week after week. And when he would get excited, his eyebrows would raise and he had these perfect wrinkles on his forehead. And I can remember as a kid thinking, man, those are cool. I thought, I remember thinking, I wish I had wrinkles on my forehead like that. He's just a little kid. And I'm going to be honest, I can remember one Sunday morning praying, God, would you please give me wrinkles on my forehead like Dr. Houston? And week after week, I mean, I would say, it never happened, but guess what? He finally answered my prayer. I can also remember as a teenager under Dr. Houston's leadership, he was a man who loved the gospel. And week after week after week after week, he would preach the gospel. And I can remember as a teenager, I'll be honest, guys, I would get a little bored thinking about it. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, surely there's something a little more practical in the Bible that he can preach that I can apply to my life. The reality was, as a teenager then, I just didn't get it. I didn't get it until it got me. And when it got me, I said, yes, Lord. When the love of Jesus flooded my soul and I realized the price that he paid for my salvation and the love that he had for me, I said, yes, Lord. And I am still learning to say, yes, Lord, today. And man, I pray that you will say yes to Jesus. The second thing is walk. Isaiah wrote, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Last week in Sunday school, Paul was talking about the TV series, The Chosen. And in the intro of The Chosen, there's these fish swimming. I know some of you have probably seen it. I honestly didn't recognize what Paul was talking about until recently. I went back and watched it. But there's fish swimming in one direction, then another fish swimming in an opposing direction. And then eventually you will see fish turning and changing colors and then going in the opposite direction as the crowd of fish is going. Walking in the ways of God is a metaphor for following God and living for Him. And if you choose to walk with God in college, if you choose to walk with God in life, you will be going against the flow. You will be going against the current. You will be walking against the current. And so how do we do that? I just wanted to pull just a few practical ways that I think are super important as a graduate that you should be doing in order to walk with God. And the first one is this: daily seek. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is an incredible promise. The things that you may worry about, you may be thinking about, hey, college, who am I going to date? You know, I'm tired of dating my cousin from Lawrence County. Maybe I can meet someone new in college, and maybe that's a desire that you have. Well, God says, hey, don't worry about those things. Seek me first, and I will take care of that. As you seek Him, seek relationships with others who walk with God. Man, be active in FCA, in BSU, in college ministry. We have an incredible college Sunday school ministry. Jeremy Loy and Sarah Loy will be teaching. And man, I want to encourage you to get involved in that college Sunday school class. Get involved, go to Passion, get involved in a Bible study, but do things daily to seek the Lord. The next thing is delight. And the Bible tells us, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Joshua 1:8, I love this verse. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Man, delight yourself in the things of God. The next thing is discover God's will. His word tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Allow God's word, his revealed will, what he's revealed in Scripture to us to follow. Use his word. Seek him. Then the next thing is die to yourself. Then he said to the crowd, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Are you guys walking with God? I mean, right now, I want you to think about your life right now. Man, am I seeking God? Am I seeking Him daily? Am I delighting in Him? Am I trying to discover His will? And am I dying to what I want in order to live for what He wants? The desire to live for what He wants is what will last. And that's the last thing, worthy. Isaiah says, your name and renown are the desires of our heart. I love competition. My dad was a coach, and so I grew up playing sports, and I loved trying to be the best that I could possibly be at any sport that I played. And recently, we were cleaning up my mom and dad's house, getting ready to sell it, and I stumbled across a box of my old trophies and plaques that I received in high school. And I didn't bring them up here. Don't worry about that. I won't even begin to tell you what they were, what I received them for, because you really wouldn't care about that anyway. And because they don't hold the same value to you as they do to me. And honestly, they don't even hold the same value to me as they once did, because their glory has faded. And if you pursue, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't pursue awards, that you shouldn't pursue to be the best that you can possibly be, but if you want your life to count for something that is of eternal value, then pursue something that will last. And the glory of the Lord is what will last. Isaiah says, your name and your renown are the desire of my heart. If you want to have an impact, if you want to have a desire that lasts, then live for a glory that's greater than your own. If you want a desire that lasts, make God's glory the desire of your heart, because He is worthy. Hey, this morning, there may be somebody in here today that needs to say, yes, Lord. You have been struggling. You have been trying to make things right. Well, guess what? Apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, things will never be right. And the thing that you might need to do this morning is to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow You. Or maybe today you realize that, hey, my walk with God just hasn't been what it's been. I haven't been delighting in God. I haven't been daily seeking God. I haven't been dying to myself. I'm really just living my life for me. And maybe today you need to make a turn. Maybe you need to make a change to choose to follow Jesus, to walk with Him. And maybe today you would say, hey, I want my life to count for something greater than myself. And if that's you, I want to ask you to commit your life today to the glory of the Lord, to make His name and His renown known among all people. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank You for Your word. God, I thank You that You loved us so much that You gave Your life for us. And Father, I pray that we would give our lives for Your glory and for Your renown. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.